morning, everyone. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that opening. Especially thought that last song was very fitting. How the words pertain to the Lord Jesus. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. We'll get there in just a minute. Last week, our brother, he left us with three excellent questions. I'll just kind of loosely paraphrase them for us. One of the questions was, are we looking at things the way they are right now, or am I entrusting the situation to the Lord? And then another question that he asked was, is what we envision for our lives based on what we can accomplish for God, or what God, is what we envision for our lives based on what we can accomplish, or is it based on what God can accomplish through us by his divine power? And then the final question left with us was, and it kind of ties in against the tying with today's message, do we envision something being accomplished for our glory or for his glory? As the hymn writer put it, is it something for me or is it something for thee? And so this third question leads us into the topic this morning of pride and humility. And I found the topic of pride and humility, just calling out my name from that list of sermon topics that we presented a little while ago, because my last name, Stoltz, means pride. And unfortunately, I've lived up to my name far too often. So we'll just begin by defining pride and humility from in a biblical context, using something like that. Well, from the Strong's Concordance definition, from the Strong's Concordance of pride is high, lofty, large, roomy, haughty, arrogance. Whereas humble is become low, bow down, lowly. And so there's this great contrast between pride and humility then. But this contrast is demonstrated it's demonstrated most clearly when we look at the person of Lucifer and the person of the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that, we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, and I'll ask Logan if he could read that, please. And so we have Lucifer here saying before God, I will be like the Most High God. And so this is the pinnacle of pride is the I will. And I'm not saying that what we need to do is remove the word I will from our vocabulary and start saying I shall. That's not at all what we're saying here. But pride says, I will do. That's pride. I will. And it just it has no thought of God whatsoever. And in fact, the first man, Adam and Eve, his wife, what did they say? What was the lie that they believed? You will be like God. Came right here from the thoughts of Lucifer himself, I will be like the Most High. The Lord Jesus, on the other hand, so we're going to be contrasting Lucifer's I will, the pride of life, I will, with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we can turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. verses 36 to 44. We'll ask Sam if he can read that, please.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, did you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, this cannot pass unless I drink it. Your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again.
Thank you for reading. And so we read the words of humility, not my will, but your will be done. That here, humility and humbleness of mind, it's God-centered versus me-centered. So hopefully we can see a very stark contrast between I will and not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And the Lord Jesus, three times he prayed, "Oh, if it would be possible that this cup could pass for me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." What cup was that? It was the cup of bearing the sins of the whole world. And so now that we've looked at the contrast between pride and humility as exemplified in Satan, Lucifer, and the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll just look at a couple of people from scriptures. There's people in scriptures that exemplify pride, and then there's others that exemplify humility. So we'll start with people of pride in the scriptures. I'll just mention a few that the scriptures actually full of people that exalted themselves, and yet the Lord made them low. And there's Pharaoh, and there's King Saul, and Goliath, and Nebuchadnezzar, and Haman, and Herod. We'll look at Nebuchadnezzar this morning just briefly. Those other people that I mentioned, Pharaoh, King Saul, Haman, and Herod, their pride took them to such a height that it in fact resulted in their death. Herod, you'll remember when you read through the book of Acts, he's given this great oration, and the people said, "Oh, this is the voice of God, this is the voice of God," and he accepted the praise of men, and God sent worms that devoured him right on the spot. So the Lord's not willing to share his glory with anyone. But Nebuchadnezzar, God had just told Nebuchadnezzar that God had established Nebuchadnezzar in his great kingdom. He had just finished telling him, "You know, I've established you to be king over Babylon." And what does Nebuchadnezzar say? He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" So Nebuchadnezzar had taken something that God had appointed him in his greatness, but Nebuchadnezzar, he took that all for himself. This is about my power, and about my kingdom, and about my majesty. And can anyone tell me what happened to Nebuchadnezzar after that?
He died.
Well, eventually he did, yes, but not quite. There's something that happened before he died, and after he thought it was all about me. Yeah, he ate grass like an ox, it says, or he ate grass like a cow. So he was yes, for 7 years he was a mad cow. he was grazing like the beast of the field. And then he came to it, I guess. He was humbled, and he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth in his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." So he really learned his lesson. He said, "Those who walk in pride, he that is the King of Heaven is able to abase." And now for someone of humility in the scriptures. For myself, when I think of humility in the scriptures, apart from the Lord Jesus, I think of Mary. Mary, the young virgin who was engaged to be to Joseph before they came together. She was told that she would be with child of the Holy Spirit. And so Mary was willing to bear the public shame as she was bearing the Savior of the world. And as she's told this, what does she say? And these are the words that I think are words that we need to make to embed in our hearts. She says, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. So as I said, here I am, Lord, use me. Be it unto me according to your word. And that is, to me, that's a heart of humility. Moses also, it says in Hebrews, that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It says in Hebrews that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So he too was someone, he had a very high position, but he chose rather to associate himself with the people of God. And so now I'd like to look at some of the outcomes of pride, and then we'll look at some of the outcomes of humility. And the psalmist says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Essentially, he says, no God, no God. And so I want to look at a few proverbs that discuss pride. And I'll just go through them quickly to save us flipping through. But a proverb says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. What's the first thing that he says? A proud look, a proud look. Is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs also says, a proud heart is sin. And the Bible goes on to say, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And it says, moreover, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that trusts in the Lord shall be made fat. And also says that only by pride cometh contention. Is there contention in our relationships? There's a little bit of pride that maybe we have in our hearts. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect to the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. So pride distances us from God. Pride is self-seeking. And again, I began by saying that my name means pride, and as I read through these things, I'm completely guilty of being prideful on money accounts. And so I just confess that to you. Some of the outcomes of humility. I think we should read this. It's from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. So that the Lord has pleasure in the humble in spirit. The Lord has pleasure in the contrite and the broken things and the broken hearts, and he is the one that revives of those. The Bible says that the Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. So the outcomes of humility is that the Lord is near, which is quite the opposite of pride. The Lord holds those that are proud. He knows them afar off, it says. But here we have those that are of a humble heart. He draws near to them. He's near to those that are of a humble heart. I'd like to read as well from 1 Peter chapter 5, and if you're into underlining things in your Bible, then this is probably a good, there's some words here that you may want to underline in 1 Peter chapter 5. And again, this verse brings out quite well the contrast between pride and humility. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And so perhaps if we find God resisting us, maybe there's some pride in our life. But God, I guess, do we want to be found in, build ourselves up with pride and be found that God is resisting us, or do we want to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because God gives grace, sufficient grace to the humble. James says, but he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And Warren Wiersbe said, grace is for the lowly, not for the lofty. And this whole idea of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, I have this picture in my mind of this hand, and it's just dwelling under God's mighty hand. And when we go out from under our God-given authority, then we're not under his protection, and we're more susceptible to sin and to evil and to other things. And so with humility, we need to be humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So the question is, well, what does it actually look like to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? And for that, I should say, I don't attempt to have all the answers to that this morning, but there's a few things that we can look at. And so let's look at James chapter 4. We can't possibly go through all the scenarios that we face in life and say, now this is the course of action of pride, and this is the course of action of humility. But there's probably some principles that we could look at together. As far as what does it mean to walk humbly with our God, as the prophet Micah said. And so James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. "Go to you now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So is it evil to make future plans? No, of course not. But it is evil, according to this, to make plans without any knowledge of God, without any consent, without bringing things prayerfully before the Lord, just to kick God out of our lives and say, "No, God, I want to do it this way. I will do it this way." That would be evil. If we're boasting in what we're about to do with no thought of God. And here the encouragement is, if the Lord wills, then we can do this or that. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. Let alone the next year. My parents, when I was 18, I wanted to turn my parents' living room, it was a fairly large living room and it wasn't being used much, into a Christian bookstore. And my mom said, well, she said, it's okay, but you'll have to get rezoned to the municipality that we live. If you wanted to have a business in your house, it had to be zoned R4 residential. So she said, as long as you can get it rezoned, that's fine with me. So I went to the town and had my application and had the hearing, and it was rejected. And someone at the hearing where it was rejected, once it was rejected, I just left. And because there was they would hear monthly all these different requests for different things. But then someone from the KW record came out after me and said, oh, are you going to do challenges? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I was just trying to receive it from the Lord. And so I should say, when I was 18, there was no such thing as email or online stores. But in the Lord's foreknowledge, he just knew, you know, this is probably not a good idea for several reasons. But anyways, it's something that I think there's, instead of just saying, oh, this is what I'm going to do, it's just we commit it to the Lord, and when the Lord shuts the door, we just have peace about it. We just rest in it. And if the Lord wants to open that door sometime in the future, so be it according to his will. And so I think there's many things, there's biblical principles that we can follow. For example, maybe you can enter into a partnership with somebody for business or for something, but maybe they're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, and but the Lord brings to mind the verse, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and so you walk in that principle. And so the Lord is willing to direct us if we commit our ways to him. And another thing I've seen as a youth leader for many years over and over is this whole idea of dating and boy and girl relationships and the direction that parents give in that. And I'll just stop there because next week my brother's going to be speaking in worship. But the point is, the Lord foresees our tomorrow. And we don't know anything about tomorrow. And so the person that boasts about tomorrow, they're really in their own pride, claiming, I guess if I'm so, this is what I'm going to do, and no, I'm not, and I leave God out of my thinking, and I'm kind of boasting in all my plans, it's as if I'm the God of my life. And I don't allow, I've become the God of my life. I'm in charge. I write the script for my life, and this is how it's going to be, and if I have no thought of God, that's walking in pride versus walking in humility is, be it according unto your will, O Lord. And humility involves us walking in fellowship with the Lord day by day. You'll recall the Proverbs which says that we're to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and then he'll direct our paths. So why would the Lord want to direct our path? Well, the Lord desires to direct our path because he wants his best for us. And sometimes what we think is best for us doesn't line up with, it falls far short of what his best for us actually is. And so can we entrust the Lord with our life? Can we say, not my will, but your will be done? Can we say that to the Lord? Are we fearful of completely surrendering our lives to the Lord? Well, why would we be fearful? We like control, don't we? We like to have it all, planned out. We want to plan what comes next in our life, and knowingly, I'm not saying it's wrong to plan. I'm not saying that at all. Let's just make sure that the Lord is the center of our plans. Sometimes we approach the Lord like this. Well, here are the plans that I've made for the next 10 years of my life, and please bless them and make them come to pass. That's just not how. It's just not approaching things with a heart of humility. So, I guess another question is, can we rest in God's best for us, even though it may initially appear to be something that we don't want? For example, I had this great idea about this Christian bookstore. The closest one was 45 minutes away, and I was kind of gearing up for it. And already in my mind, I had ideas of things I would want to stock, but the Lord just pulls the door, and then it has to be, okay, this is the Lord's, I just have to receive this from the Lord. And so the question is, can we receive this? Can we receive this direction day by day? Sometimes as parents, we think, we see, well, that would be a really bad idea for the child to go off in this direction. And so we speak to the child about that. And parents, do we want what's best for our children? Of course we do. I don't know good parents that want what to desire something evil for their children, right? And so sometimes when mom and dad say no to something and say yes to something else, we might find that difficult, but we need to receive it as from the Lord. Again, humility says, if the Lord will, then we shall do this. The Bible says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his path. And just a bit of contrasting here, pride says, well, look what I did. And God says, I will not share my glory with anyone. And humility says, that was actually the Lord at work through me. That was the Lord at work in my life. The glory belongs to him. I'm reminded of an old hymn that called Channels Only. It says, Channels Only. And the idea of the channel is, in my mind, I always picture this pipe of flowing water through it. But if it's all clogged up with gunk and stuff, then it restricts the flow. But that it channels only, blessed Master, but with all your wondrous power flowing through us, you can use us every day and every hour. Pride says, I am the captain of my destiny. Humility says, be it according to your will, O Lord. So how else does humility look on a day-to-day basis in our lives? Well, humility receives correction. And the proud makes a mock at sin. Pride says, well, I know that. And humility receives instruction. Pride says, you have no business telling me that. And humility says, well, thank you for telling me that, even if the person did have no business commenting. When the humble is confronted with his sin, or convicted in heart, he confesses his transgression. He confesses and says his sin. He seeks reconciliation with the brother or sister that he's offended. And he lifts up his voice in prayer and says, against you, O Lord, have I sinned. So the humble in heart desires to be reconciled to God and to the person that they offended. They don't walk around and say, well, that wasn't my fault. That's his fault. They own the responsibility. The Bible says that the proud man has no fear of God. This is from the Psalms. I'm sorry, I didn't write down the reference. The Bible says, the proud man has no fear of God. He flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. Yes, he devises vanity upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. So humility, it can be counterintuitive for us. However, it's to be the way of life for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, for every new creature in Christ, for everyone that is born from above, seeking those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. I'm often thinking of humility, I think of, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of Philippians in chapter 2, and I also think of a song called May the Mind of Christ, and it goes like this: May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. But the one verse says, may the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. And humility, again, counterintuitive, but the Bible says that let each esteem the other better than themselves. And that's very unnatural for us. We like to think, well, of course I'm better than... of course we look out for our own interests first versus the other's interests. But that's not the way of humility, is it? And again, bringing us back to the beginning, the person that exemplified humility in the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then he said, every valley shall be exalted, and every high place shall be made plain. And so when we come to God, we're all on the same level. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the ultimate act of pride is kicking God out of our lives and being the God of our own life. Whereas the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ Yeah, he left heaven's majesty to come to earth. And earth is this, as you know, it's this speck of dust in the universe. But he just didn't come to this lowly planet. He came to Nazareth. And someone said, well, what good thing can come from Nazareth? So he just didn't come to this lowly planet and a lowly place of the planet. But he was born into a poor family. And not only was he born into a poor family, he was considered an illegitimate child. And we get that from the New Testament. This is not his father, Joseph, is with us. And there's just different things there. So he came to be the lowest of the lowest. And then he died the most humiliating death. And then what does it say? It says in Philippians that he made no reputation for himself, but became obedient. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it says that God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so humility is submitting ourselves then under the mighty hands of God. With a heart attitude of not my will, but your will be done. And also with that heart attitude, like Mary, be it unto according to your word, O Lord. I must decrease, he must increase, may we allow the King of Kings to take his rightful place in our hearts. Christ exalting, self abasing. This is victory, and this is humility. Is there a set of closing statements?